Hey guys, it's Kiki, and guess what? I am finally here to record my Love is Blind Season 4 recap, okay? We're going to talk about all of the couples that made it. We're going to talk about things I liked, things I did not like. Strap in, because we're going to be here for a while. Okay, so first and foremost, I want to thank you guys who have been asking me if I was going to recap this season. My answer is always yes. It was just that the episodes, those episodes are very, very long. They're like 40 to 50 minutes, and it is very, very difficult to review every little thing that happens, especially in the beginning episodes when we're introduced to people who we know are not going to make it to the final or make it to couple status or get engaged. So, and in hindsight, also with all the stuff that's been coming out on social media about the cast members, it's always good that I get to get in there at the end and then give my overall opinion. So I'm going to talk about the season overall with each couple on this review. And then I'm also going to do a separate review for the reunion, because y'all know that reunion was a hot mess. Vanessa Lachey, I'm coming for you, bitch. I'm coming. You were doing too much. Netflix, nobody asked for a live reunion. But of course, I'm going to save my thoughts for the next review, because we will be here all day. So how I'm going to tackle this recap is go through each couple. I'm going to give my thoughts on each couple. I'm going to give what I thought my predictions would be when they got to the altar. And then I'll give a overall thought about this season. Let me start off by saying I thought this was a great season. Season 3 just wasn't giving. I didn't watch season 2. So for season 3 being as lackluster as it was, that being my first experience with this franchise, to be treated to season 4 was a lot. And again, I hate that the live reunion flopped, because this was actually a good season. I was actually waiting. I was like, yeah, because I got questions. I need answers. And so much was happening on social media after the finale aired. So I was happy to set in and dig into that. But yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about these couples. And yeah, y'all better get ready. So the first couple I want to discuss is Kwame and Chelsea. Okay, let's just start to know who these people are. Kwame is 33. He's a sales development manager. And Chelsea is 31, and she's a pediatric speech pathologist. Chelsea, I see you, sis. Right off the bat, I had qualms about Kwame. Like everybody did. It was giving self-hating black man that wanted a white woman. And let me just clarify this, because I saw a lot of people when the show first premiered getting on Kwame about wanting to use, you know, him stating that he was going to go by Alex because using the name Kwame just put him into a box. Sir, I mean, regardless of you wanting to use Alex, which is his actual name, I think that is his name, they knew you were going to be black regardless. Like, some things you can just tell. So remember in last season when it was the girl, what's her name? She married that crazy alcoholic man, and she would be like, oh, I'm a ballerina, or I'm, it's like you give clues away. And she kept saying that to let the men know that she was fit. I felt that same way about Kwame. But Kwame, much like Bartice, you know, they prefer to date women who look a certain way. And I never want to jump on someone because of their preferences, right? I'm just like, okay, that's you. But it black women, we know if you're picking up what I'm putting down, we know. But I just clocked it, and I saw it as that. Kwame, you appearing on Married at First Sight, I think 2 seasons ago in the audition round, that let me know all I needed to know. So in my mind, I was like, okay, Kwame's here for clout. He wants a white woman, which is fine. You know, I date all races. But Kwame just was not serious to me, especially as we get more into his journey after he and Chelsea get engaged. Right off the bat, I love Chelsea. Chelsea was very direct. She seemed like she knew what her purpose was to be here. She wasn't here for clout. She really wanted to walk away from this with a husband, with a marriage, and be very serious about it. So, one of my red flags for this relationship is Kwame and his lust for Micah. Kwame was head over heels with Micah, but because Micah was messy and, in my opinion, manipulated Paul into proposing to her, I just feel like it wouldn't have worked out anyway. And now, hindsight being what it was, I don't think Micah would have been able to bring Kwame home to meet her parents. Just putting that out there. So when Micah breaks up with him and Kwame is acting like he is auditioning for a Tyler Perry movie, this man was crying. This man was sobbing, y'all. This man was crying. He was over himself. It was giving the nigga in The Restless. I was just very confused. I was like, damn, Kwame, like, take a moment, take a beat. He was very upset that his ice princess did not want him and went with Paul. I was very red flag. And then you guys saw how after Micah had rejected him, he started talking about Chelsea. My nigga would go up to other people, other guys, and be like, yeah, it's just weird how Chelsea's just pulling ahead. She's pulling ahead. And I forgot who he was talking to. It was either Marshall or Brett. And they're like, Chelsea? Like, it just gave the impression that he had never really put Chelsea in the top position that he was trying to say she was in. And I love that off the bat, Chelsea knew, like, okay, you just broke up with Micah. What is it? But I also feel like Chelsea ignored the red flags and that she was down for it. So, yeah, their proposal, it wasn't anything special to me. Right off the bat when they met, they had chemistry. I could see the sexual chemistry. He was grabbing her booty. I was like, okay. They was kissing. I knew they was going to fuck the moment they got out the pods. I was like, yeah, y'all going to have sex. And I was like, okay, let's see if they could work. Where the disrespect for me was when Kwame first met Micah and he was like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. And like he was still very affected by the fact that she rejected him. And it was straight up disrespectful for Chelsea the way that he had to go have a conversation with her about making a joke about a failed proposal. Like it was giving get out. It was giving slave master. Like I did not like that. And Chelsea had the right idea. Chelsea was like, no, why is there a conversation that needs to be going on? And why are y'all touching each other? And the way that Kwame constantly disrespected Chelsea by having these conversations with Micah, even at Chelsea's birthday party, they were like, oh, are you happy? And he was asking her if she was happy. And Kwame never gave 100% answer. I'm like, sir, why are you here then? Chelsea does not have a gun near your head forcing you to be engaged to her. I didn't like that. I did not like that. And Chelsea, I felt, was very vulnerable about the fact that she was happy with her life, but that she wanted a partner because she is alone. And I felt that, like, being single is amazing, but you do have those moments where you're just like, damn, I am alone. Like, and it's okay to have those moments. I'd rather have loneliness and peace over struggle love. And that's just what it was. We saw as they became engaged, you know, like I said, they got physical very fast. And that was another thing that pissed me off. Like, you guys are being physical. And then Kwame felt so comfortable to continue to disrespect Chelsea by entertaining Micah. And that has always been my problem with Love is Blind. Like, these couples will flirt and they will entertain. But you have to be in the mindset that you are engaged. This is going to be your future spouse. I'll have more to say about that in the reunion because Kwame addresses that. But I wasn't here for it. They kept having this issue of Kwame not wanting to move to Seattle. They kept having this issue about them having kids because Kwame was like, listen, I want to enjoy being married. I want to travel. And I got the notion that Chelsea wanted to have kids immediately. She wanted babies immediately. Chelsea also gave me the vibe that she's dated a black man before. Like, it was just certain mannerisms. I'm like, yeah, you done been around a few black folks. But yeah, the edit or the narrative that the production gave us is that Kwame picked her as his second choice and that he was going to say no at the altar. So my prediction leading up to the altar was, of course, that Chelsea would say yes and that Kwame would say no. So we get to wedding day. Kwame's mom is not there because she doesn't really support this union. And it's another question I have. So, because a lot of couples will say, when they got back from their honeymoons, they'd be like, okay, so my mom or my parents don't know what happened. They're going to be like, what the hell? Because I got my phone back. I'm like, so when you leave, do you not tell your family or do you not tell the other person you're going on a love show and that you are more than likely going to come back engaged? Very confused. That would never fly with my parents, though. Like, I would have to tell them beforehand. So I was very confused, but Kwame has a conversation with his mom on the phone when they first get engaged, and she doesn't really want to meet Chelsea. She's not here for it. Kwame, I'm going to need you to take a lie detector test because nobody was on that damn phone. I heard not one. I heard Nan voice on that phone. That screen was dark. But eventually his siblings come around to the wedding on the wedding day, and yeah, child, they were very excited for him, and they said that his dad was very excited that this was happening for him. So we get to the altar. Color me shocked that Chelsea says yes. Color me shocked that Kwame also says yes. My mouth dropped open. I was like, so was this all an act? All this huffing and puffing about you not wanting to hurt her and you not wanting to be married to her? Because Kwame said yes without any hesitation. And like I said, I was very shocked. What I think Kwame saw, that salary that Chelsea was bringing in. He saw that damn salary and less was said. He was like, listen, this is my meal ticket. I don't have to go on these dating shows no more. Let me marry this white woman. Let me go on a few trips with her. And we're going to call it a wrap. But yeah, overall, I did not believe that they were going to get married. So I was very shocked that they both said I do, namely Kwame. And you guys, they are still together as of today. Now, do I think they'll make it in the long run? I don't know. I do not know. And that's the hard part about waiting to see what the results are going to be. Because, yeah, I just feel, I don't know. I think Chelsea could have done better. She could have found someone who had a truly organic attraction to who she is and what she does. But that is not to say that I didn't find Chelsea blameless in all of this. Like, she had her moments where she was very passive aggressive. She's very direct. She wants things a certain way. I don't know how that's going to work in the long run, but if I have to give my final prediction on the status of their marriage, even though they're still married today, I do not think they will make it in the long run. Okay, so now let's move on to Tiffany and Brett. Tiffany is 37 and she's a client lead director. Brett is 36 and he is a design director. Okay, on paper, perfect. In the pods, perfect. Engagement, perfect. Marriage, perfect. The way Black Twitter was rooting for Tiffany and Brett, I think we all came to a general consensus of if this did not work out, we were going to riot. It just goes to show, to me, in my opinion, how these love shows need to cast mature, older people, because there is a segment of middle-aged, you know, mid-30 people who are single, who want to settle down and are ready for love. And I didn't feel like there was any fakeness or any clout chasing with both of these individuals. And it just came off so genuine and natural. Like, I can't say enough about Tiffany and Brett. I didn't see any, like, glaring red flags. Tiffany immediately came in here looking for love. You know, she was saying, I'm 37, never been married. That is very concerning to some people, especially her family. So she came in here with the intention of finding a husband. Brett, 36, seeing for him. He came in here with the intention of finding a wife, and they were both true and open to the process. I thought their interactions in the pod were very sweet, very genuine. Like, they were boyfriend, girlfriend immediately. I know that Marshall had said that he had been interested in Tiffany, but that due to the age difference, he thought she'd be a better match for someone else. And thank goodness, hindsight being what it is, child, because no, absolutely not. No, thank you, Marshall. Tiffany falling asleep. Tiffany falling asleep was hilarious to me because I have definitely fell asleep talking to somebody on the phone. But for her to fall asleep during him confessing that he loved her, I was like, girl, I hope you did not miss your blessing. And I thought it was interesting that even though Brett was very upset that she fell asleep, because if you guys recall, he was like, I'm done. It's done. It's done. It was like, it was zero turnaround. So I wonder if the producers were like, no, bro, like she really fell asleep or she didn't hear you. Because usually when a man say they done, they done. What's tea about that? But no, I love that he framed it as it'll be a funny story to tell our grandchildren. And they proposed. Of course, she said yes. They met, chemistry off the charts. The way I was grinning when they met and they were kissing, I was like, true love does exist. Baby, the way they got it busting on the honeymoon. Now, the cameraman, I did not feel like I needed to see Brett spreading her booty cheeks. Like, I would have told y'all to get the hell out the room. Like, very passionate, very understanding with the both of them. I loved that. Not really any family issues. When Tiffany saw Brett's place, she was like, oh, he's bougie. He spends a lot of money. Ma'am, what's the problem? What's the problem? Brett, you know, he invests into his appearance. He has good quality. He has good taste. I was like, Tiffany, you keep calling this man bougie. I'm gonna have to curse you out, ma'am. Please shut up and take this man, okay? Like, oh, Brett, you're too bougie. Like, I'm just afraid that our space, you know, I won't have space for my stuff. And Brett was like, okay, so we'll get a bigger apartment. We'll get a bigger union. Like, what's the problem? Like, I really feel like Tiffany and Brett had no issues, even to the point where I was very annoyed with Tiffany for crying. But knowing what I know now about how Brett lived 3 hours away and she was stressed about the wedding, okay, I can accept that now. But in the moment, I'm like, Tiffany, girl, you're just looking for reasons to worry. Like, we both know y'all gonna say yes. What the problem is? What is the problem? I really loved when she met his dad. His dad hadn't been on a plane in like 30 years or something like that. And her dad just reminded me of like old Southern men. I'm sorry, his dad just reminded me of old Southern men. Just make cracking jokes from the minute he met her. And I just love that. I see a very good, solid family dynamic. Of course, my prediction going into Tiffany and Brett is that they were both going to say yes. Of course, they both said yes. Of course, they're both still married to this day. And I love that. I do believe that their marriage is going to make it. I can't say enough good things about them. Tiff, I will say, if I had to worry about anything, she's very dramatic, I feel like. Like, she overreacts a lot, which is uncanny because it says she's a Sagittarius. And I'm like, But I do like, one thing I do like about Tiffany is when that whole Chelsea, Micah, Kwame mess was going on and Jackie was stirring the pot with Micah. And she was like, listen, my name is Bennett and I'm not in it. Because, baby, if that's not me, if I see drama going on, I'm like, That's cute for y'all. I'm gonna get the mess and I'm gonna get the tea later, but keep Kiki's name out of it. And that's what Tiffany was doing. I love that Brett became a good, like, emotional space for the other men on the show, especially Marshall, and that he was also vulnerable. Like, when he said his older brother had passed away and they were planning his wedding, and how, you know, in his household they didn't grow up saying I love you, and how it had been like a journey for him to tell Tiffany that he loved her, because she said it first, obviously. But I love that he was open about that and didn't use that as an excuse to not say it back. So when he was finally able to say it, when he met her friends, I was like, oh, Brett, you're so sweet. Like, that's a good man, Savannah. If anything were to go wrong in this marriage, it would be Tiffany's. Am I sounding like a pick me? I just bought it. I bought it and I love it. And I hope creators and producers looked at this show and saw Tiffany and Brett. Again, cast mature people in their 30s for these love shows, because it's crazy that 27-year-olds came on this show trying to get married. Like, what? Your brain isn't fully developed yet. Like, what are we talking about? But yes, I love Tiffany and Brett, and I love that they're still married to this day. And they're just, I hate to say the word perfect, because, you know, men always going to embarrass us. But you know what? In this moment, they were a perfect match. Let's discuss Micah and Paul. Oh, Micah. Micah is a 27-year-old marketing manager. Do with that what you will. What is that? What is okay? Mark a social a content creator, whatever. Paul is 29 and he's an Ivrenner, 29 environmental scientist. Okay. Immediately when I first met these two in the pods, I thought Micah was that classic blonde mean girl bitch, and that's how she presented herself, and that's what I'm going with. Okay. Paul, he was giving me smooth kind of player vibes when he was telling everybody in the pods, you know, at our wedding, when we get married. And I'm just like, Paul, you got some swag, don't you? Paul is fine to me, y'all. I'm sorry. I just wish he would cut that squirrel off the top of his head, grow a beard, and get a buzz cut. Paul fine to me, and I feel like Paul knew he was that nigga in the pods, because every other girl, oh, me, Paul. They knew who Paul was. It's so funny because in the pods, Paul was very charismatic and very confident. But then when he would go back to like the guys group section, I just got like nerd feeling. Like he gave me Penn Badgley vibes. Like it was definitely a mix of Dan Humphrey and Joe. And I was like, I'm very interested to see how this is going to play out. So, like I stated earlier, in my opinion, I think Micah manipulated Paul into proposing to her, because you guys can tell when that other girl, Amber, who had been divorced, I want to say two or three times, she and Paul were obviously spending a lot of time together during their dates. And when Micah, for whatever reason, decided that her and Kwame, and that's what I said, I think Micah decided, okay, Kwame's obviously black, I like that, but in the long run, my parents probably not going to jive with this. So she went back to Paul and is like, oh, I heard you're getting close with Amber. If we don't get engaged, we might as well just call it quits. Like, really put him on the spot, which was very messy, because she tried to do the same thing to Kwame. And Kwame was like, all right, well, let's get married. Let's get engaged right now. Let's just end this early. And then she was like, oh, well, no, you know, actually. So, girl, what was it? What was it? You didn't want Kwame. You were just playing games with him the whole time. So when they got engaged, I just knew it was going to be a mess, y'all. Like, I was like, I don't know. So they got engaged and they met, and the vibe was off to me. I got the feeling that Micah was not really attracted to Paul, which is crazy to me because he's fine as hell. But I didn't know. I wasn't sold on their connection. And then when they went on the honeymoon, it was giving gay best friend. Like, she really was friend zoning him and like still trying to entertain Kwame. But Micah, I don't know why you were doing that, because it was very obvious that you weren't into Kwame like that. And I'll talk about the flirting thing, because Paul gave an explanation on the flirting that Micah did with Kwame. And I was just like, huh? No, I don't. But they did have sex and become physical. And it was like, once Micah got some of that Paul D, okay, it was like a 180. She was like, oh, my man. Like, I think Paul really put it on Micah, and it was, oh, you know, Paul is my man, and yeah, me and Paul, oh, I can't stand to not be around him. Oh my God, Paul. Yeah, Paul put that whammy on her. He really did. As far as the whole Irina thing, I'm gonna have words for that crater-faced heifer really, really in the reunion. But when we talk about Bliss and Zach, I'll talk about her there. But Irina, it was really brave of you to openly flirt with Paul. And let it be said, Paul was flirting back. And of course, I'm gonna touch on this in the reunion recap, but he was flirting back. And when Irina had her titties out and he was like, oh, it's hard to look up from her from the neck up, because, you know, her boobies out. Paul, I got my good eye on you. Their engagement, especially after the whole Irina thing and Micah, the clown came back to bite, because it was funny when Irina was messing up other relationships, but when she tried to get in between you and Paul, you was like, not no, but hell to the no. Like, she read Irina for filth. But again, I did not feel sorry, because what goes around comes around, just like you manipulated Paul into proposing to you. you thought you could manipulate Irina into sticking with her own decision. No, ma'am. Irina saw Paul outside them pause, and she was like, oh, no, I could try and get that. I could swing that. Yeah. Yeah, Micah wasn't really feeling you this entire season. I was not a fan of Micah. In fact, I was actually afraid that Paul would get caught up. The engagement in life, you know, living together, I still was not convinced, especially when we meet Micah's friends, that goddamn Shelby. Let me tell you something. If you're my friend and you truly love me, I don't want to hear your opinions on my relationship unless I ask for them, which I will never ask someone their opinions on my relationship. Micah was up there bragging about how Shelby has broken up her past relationships. And I'm just like, bitch, is that something to be proud of? Like, Shelby was giving single white female vibes. Like, no one's good enough for Micah. And I just didn't get how she met Paul within 2 seconds. It was like, oh no, I don't like him. Bitch. And I love Paul was like, okay, well, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Next question. Paul ate her up and spit her back out. Like, okay, you don't like me? You're not the one I'm marrying. So, okay, thank you for your opinion. You and your she in pajama set. She thought she was really killing with that green silk robe looking like Shrek. Ma'am, no ma'am. And all the crying and stuff. Again, manipulation. Because why are you crying about me getting engaged to a man you just met 2 minutes ago? And then she kept asking Micah, are you sure? You sure he's the one? And Micah's like, yeah, I think he's the one. No, he's not right for you. Shelby, go to hell. Go to hell. Go to hell. I don't like that. I don't like when friends put their opinions in. And I have to factor in that Micah is 27. So she thinks her friends hang the moon, honey. And I say this to always say, consider the source. Consider the source. I will never let anybody who is outside of my relationship dictate what I can and cannot do or how I should feel. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Having an objective point of view for perspective is important, but your friends have to respect you. And I don't think Shelby respects Micah, especially her behavior at the wedding. I didn't care for that. We get to the wedding. My prediction was that Paul would say no and that Micah would say no. And again, here comes that manipulation, because Micah is like, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go first. Why can't you just stand up and stand in your own decisions? Why do you constantly seek validation from other people to decipher how you're going to move? Like, I got so pissed off when I saw that in the previews. I'm like, you go first for a reason. Like, ugh, Micah's so fucking annoying. But you know what? He got her ass. Before the wedding and the day of when Paul was speaking to people, I thought Micah and Paul were much like how I thought, what's his face, was SK when he told his girl no on the wedding day. I thought Paul was coming from a place of, I just don't think we're ready to get married. Okay? I didn't think he was saying, no, I don't want to marry you. I just don't think we're getting married. But of course, when you're at the altar and you say no, it can definitely be misconstrued. Your reason and your intention could be definitely different. Like, I had gone into the season feeling 100% confident that Paul would say yes, but it was on the wedding day. He was just like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I just don't know. You know, I hope everything shakes out for the best. And he kept saying that repeatedly. He said that to his friends. He said that to his mama. He said that to his dad and his stepmom. And I'm just like, damn, Paul, are you about to waffle out? So they get to the altar. Micah gives him the air quote opportunity to go first, and he says no. And now we never know until Micah goes to the reunion. She was like, yeah, I was gonna say yeah. Micah, please stop lying. Just stop. Micah's friend's behavior while she is getting dumped at the altar was disgusting. Shelby's laughing. Her friend is laughing. And she's just, I knew it was going to happen. I'm so glad it happened. Meanwhile, her mom is like breaking down and like very emotional for her daughter. Her friends are trash. I'm sorry. The way they were so happy and snickering. And even when she went to her bridal suite and Paul went after her and they interrupted them, they were just like, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. It just goes to show that mean girls do exist. And Micah just gave me very insecure. But at the end, I think Micah got exactly what she disturbed. her and Irina's crater face head ass went around, you know, and trying to disrupt relationships even when they were in the pods. And now you got what you wanted, and look what happened. The clown bit back. I'm not mad at Paul for saying no. And I'm not really mad at the comment he made, which I'll discuss in the reunion recap, about him not seeing her being a good mother. We're going to talk about that. But I don't... Was it a mean thing to say? Was it kind of not pleasant to say? Absolutely. But sometimes the truth is unpleasant. Micah, you presented yourself as a horrible person. And that's how he felt in that moment. I don't think he was attacking her motherhood because she's not a mom. I don't think he was attacking her as... I don't think it was an attack. It just wasn't a nice thing to say. And then, you know, we find out that Paul rebounded with someone... I want to say it was someone who was in the pods. So him and Micah dated after the show for a little while. It didn't work out. And then after they broke up, he started dating someone else for a little while. So like I said, Paul is smooth. Paul is a player. He ain't new to this. He true to this. Yeah, that relationship was just a hot ass mess. An M to the S. Now let's discuss Jackie and Marshall, child. So many apparent red flags from the beginning, but let's get into it. Okay, Jackie is 27 years old. She is a dental assistant. Marshall is also 27 years old, marketing manager. One day I'm going to find out what a marketing manager is. And I just want to note that Marshall's cousin, his name is Justin, he was on... The Bachelorette. He's also been on Bachelor in Paradise. I think, was he on the season with, what season was that? Was that Tayshia's season? I want to say it was Tayshia's season. Or who was after Tayshia? Whoever it was, he was on their season and then, yeah, whatever. So Marshall is, I'm not saying he's a clout chaser, but he's very apparent about reality TV, okay? From the beginning, I didn't... Both of them separately in the pods, I didn't think they were that interesting as they were, you know, dating other people from what we saw. But you could tell while watching this season, there is an apparent change where Jackie and Marshall were going to be characters. They were going to be a part of this process. And that is where production saw the mess and they said, give me more. Okay. So among them first starting out, I didn't buy it. I just thought that Jackie was just talking just to talk. I just thought that Marshall, knowing what I know now and why I had these spidey senses, I get the feeling that Marshall did not want, he was not interested in overall a black woman. I could be wrong, but it was giving, it was just giving, I don't know, because they said he dated someone named Keisha. I don't know. It was just giving that he had a certain type of preference. I will say that. Let me retract my statement. It isn't that he didn't want a black woman. He just wanted someone not like him. Okay, is that the same thing? Probably. But overall, I thought their relationship was just fluff on paper. My first red flag was Marshall's reaction when Jackie told him that Josh told her that he was going to pack his bags and leave if she was going to pursue a relationship with Marshall. I thought Jackie was doing too much with the crying. And oh my God, I just feel so bad. And she's hiding under the blanket. And I'm like, Jackie, girl, what? Didn't understand her reaction to telling him that. Didn't really care for Marshall's reaction and how he got like angry and like went back to the guys' quarters and was staring at Josh and talking to Brett about it and just very aggressive. And at that point, I was on Josh's side like, hey, are you talking about me? Let's have a discussion. Like, it was a red flag. Like, I wasn't completely sold on Marshall. And let me state right now, Marshall is not a victim because I feel like Marshall has a, which he will state later, like, oh, you were a project. He has a complex about himself where he thinks he can enhance every woman that he meets. That's just my opinion. When they were in the pods, I did feel bad for him when he was like, his dad would make fun of him because he wasn't good at math and would down talk him. First of all, not everybody deserves to be a parent, okay? That's terrible that his dad did that to him. I hope he got some therapy, because it plays back into this notion of him not being masculine enough, which is what Jackie kept trotting out. That's frustrating, but let me stay on track, because we're going to get to that when we get to that. So when they got engaged, I could feel that Jackie was not fully attracted to Marshall. He was all in, okay? Let's be honest. He saw a light-skinned girl with curly hair, and he was like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to marry her. Almost like he had conquered a prize. I got that vibe. If y'all got that vibe too, tap in. Let me know. Let me know. Comment on the Spotify. He was more into her than she was into him, but still I thought, okay, maybe they can make it work. When I see couples like this and their reactions outside of the pods, I'm always like, I have to see how they interact on the honeymoon. So when we go to the honeymoon, they got physical real quick, and Jackie was happy about that. And I was like, of course Marshall gonna have sex with you, honey. He's very attracted to you. You're the type of woman he wants on his arm. It was kind of giving, no, I'm not gonna say he was Bartiz, because nobody's as trash as Bartiz. But yeah, and first red flag for the relationship, it was definitely Jackie crying all of a sudden, and she was starting to say like, oh, she has a tough situation back home. We now learned that her dad had cancer and that she takes care of him. She's like a caretaker for him every weekend. But my thing is, as I was watching the show, I was like, but you knew that before you came here. So then she started to feel guilty about bringing Marshall into that. And again, I'm like, okay, so you came on this show. You knew your father was terminally ill, or I don't know if terminally, but that he has cancer. Yet you still took the time to go on this show to find love, to find a husband. It's giving you wanted a husband for your daddy. I'm sorry, that may sound insensitive, but that's what it was giving. It's like, you know, you have this, you know, overwhelming home situation, and it's kind of careless of you to go on a dating show, meet someone you've never met before, get engaged. The intention is to get married. You want to bring them into that, not knowing what their mental capacity is, not knowing if they're physically or financially stable to do that. Like, it was just giving broke girl vibes. It was giving, you came here for a co-caretaker. And that's when I was just, I'm not really into Jackie. I also didn't like how she was instigating the mess between Micah and Kwame and Chelsea. Like, in 1 minute, she's telling Chelsea, oh, I wouldn't let Kwame and Micah. That would bother me too if they were over there talking and he's ignoring you. But then on the other turn, when you're in Micah's face, you are saying, oh, I mean, you could take Kwame if you wanted to. What the fuck? Fuck the what? Like, fake. It's giving fake. It's giving fraud. Yeah, and her reaction to Zach calling him weird and piling on him. I'm like, Jackie, I've never seen you interact with Zach. So where is this coming from? And when she had the breakdown crying in the bathroom, it was giving anxiety. It was giving, she had a panic attack, reality set in. And I feel now that I've seen all the episodes and now that we know all the social media stuff, I feel like she wasn't really into Marshall, and she used that as an excuse to act a little crazy and be mean to him. So it was just very hard when they were on their honeymoon. She starts crying. She goes in the bathroom. And every time Marshall would be like, hey, tell me what to do. Tell me how I can help you. Okay, a pick me, if we're being honest. She'd be like, no. She'd get mad at him and storm off and then start crying. And then the next day, it's like a whole new person. So I was already in the beginning of this. I was like, Jackie is not stable enough mentally to be on this show. I wasn't here for it. So when they got out the pods and they move in together, we see more of that behavior. We learn that they've been having more arguments off camera. Marshall was very excited for Jackie to meet his family. Of course, she's freaking out. And when he's, again, trying to comfort her, she yells at him and was like, you're making it worse. Ma'am, you're in your head. Like, I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to just tell me what to do to make. And she would flip it back on him as if he was the reason why she was feeling this way. I didn't understand it. I thought it was very weird how when the sister came, Marshall and Jackie put on a show like they were perfect and nothing was wrong. I was like, mm-mm, not here for it. in how his sister and her husband was like, yeah, Marshall's never been this happy. He's never been in love like this. He's so happy. Like, oh, we can tell he's in love with you. I need people outside of relationships to mind their business. Family or not. Like, obviously, in that moment, Jackie felt uncomfortable. And they're like, yeah, y'all are going to get married. Like, yeah, y'all are perfect for each other. Like, you just met this girl 2 seconds ago. How do you know they're perfect for each other? Y'all don't know that. Y'all just saw a light-skinned girl with curly hair. But again, I thought that was weird. Okay. Chelsea's birthday party, Marshall shows up alone. He says that he and Jackie had an argument. She shows up separately. Like, I really feel like she wasn't going to show up in that. Producers are like, bitch, unless you want to get fined, show your ass up. She shows up. The energy is just awkward. Again, they should have called it right then and there. And then we have the insertion of Josh once again. He's obviously been holed up, and knowing what I know now, fed alcohol and drunk. But y'all want to know a little tea? Y'all want to know a little tea? Josh got engaged in the pods. He got engaged to this girl. I forgot her name. She went on Instagram and told all the tea. They got engaged. And then once they were like flying home, I guess what Netflix let them know that, you know, they weren't going to be featured for the rest of the episodes, because all the time I learned that other couples do get engaged in the pods, it's just they're not chosen to, you know, go on the group honeymoon and we keep following them. But yeah, he got engaged to a girl, changed his mind, broke up with her. So now it's kind of weird to see him, Josh, come back at Chelsea's birthday, because, you know, and Kwame and all the other men kept saying, oh, we were trying to get rid of him. Yeah, so you had been engaged, sir. You had been engaged, and now you obviously came back. Producers brought you back for some mess. He just had to meet Jackie. And yeah, he was drunk. I did not like that. Calling Marshall a bitch. Called him NBA cryboy to Jackie. Jackie laughed. At this point, it was apparent that Jackie was no longer into Marshall. And I missed something. Jackie and Marshall had an argument prior to that because she felt like he was not man enough or that he needed to boss up. And even in the pod, she kept saying how she likes a thug. She likes a man with tattoos. She likes a man that's, you know, strong and strict with her. It's giving daddy issues. And that Marshall was kind of soft. And we see in present day the text messages that leaked that she did try to insinuate that Marshall was gay. I'm never here for that. Like Marshall said, you kept attacking my manhood. We're gonna touch on that later in the reunion recap. But yeah, I was not here for that. And for her to laugh after Josh made that corny ass joke, it was like, yeah, you didn't want to be with him. I also will say I did not like how Marshall at Chelsea's birthday party, he was opening up to Brett about the troubles that he and Jackie were going through, and he's like, yeah, she told me she wants me to be born mainly, especially in the bedroom, like choke her and slap her around. Sir, you did not need to say that. You did not need to say that out loud. You did not need to say that while mic'd up. You did not. Brett did not need to know that. Again, Brett and Tiffany, they were out of the drama. So they go back home after Chelsea's birthday party. It's obviously weird vibes because we see Jackie was giving Josh a lot of attention, just like she said Micah and Kwame were doing. Okay? Okay? But Marshall tries to talk to her because Marshall wants to save this. Marshall does not want to let Jackie go. And I'm just like, Marshall, when someone does not want you and they constantly show you reasons why they do not want to be with you or they display actions, it's time to just call it. And he attempts to talk. And he, again, this is how Marshall frames himself, okay? What can I do for you so that what am I not doing? And y'all will pick up on men who are like that, who want to put all the blame kind of in your hands. It may come off as, oh, he's trying to be supportive and he wants to listen. He wants to open the space. No, it's a manipulative tactic to me. Jackie did not want to talk about it. And Marshall was like, well, we don't have time to talk because either she or he leave for work so early in the morning. They don't have time to see each other in the morning. So Jackie was avoiding it. Perfect. We get to the day of, in the way Netflix cut this scene together was so messy, but we get to wedding shopping day where Marshall goes to try on his suit and tie. He's there. Jackie's not at the wedding fitting, the dress fitting. Tiffany, you know, being a good friend, but also not really staying at it like you said you would. Tiffany lets Brett know that Jackie did not show up. Now, here's my issue with this whole thing. Marshall not having any contact with Jackie, why would you still go and get your suit, your tux fit? Like, I don't... Again, Jackie is giving him all the signs that she does not want to be with him, but he's just trudging ahead, like acting unaware. So when Brett told him, he was just like, oh, well, that's disappointing. And he leaves immediately. I feel like Marshall already knew that she probably was not going to show up. Like, y'all have been having problems constantly. Y'all have been talking about your issues constantly, or at least trying to. And now you're so, and you had the audacity to go to your tux fitting. Sir, you knew what it was giving. You knew what it was giving. Netflix cut the scene to Jackie meeting up with Josh. This was a lot of clownery. Her saying that once she heard Josh's voice at Chelsea's birthday, her nipples got hard and that it was like PTSD. Ma'am, that's the wrong term to use. PTSD? When Josh asks her, does Marshall know you're here? She says, I don't care. Yeah, it's scary how people can just turn on and off like that. But again, Marshall's not blameless in this. Jackie's not blameless. Like, I feel like for her to say, oh, I don't care if he knows, Marshall knew what was up. So let's talk about the breakup scene when they officially break up. Marshall just sits down and asks her point blank, why did you accept my proposal if you don't want to be with me? She said that at the time she did want to be with him, but she can't give him what he wants. I feel like that was a valid statement. Again, she's putting all the blame in his hands. There was a lot of blame tossing, like a hot potato between these two. But when she said she couldn't give him what he wanted, that was a trophy wife, in my opinion. Marshall tried to be petty and asked for the ring back. He didn't get that damn ring back. We've dragged Jackie up and down about not giving that ring back, about it giving broke bitch vibes. And her and Josh and his cauliflower air sitting up there so happy that she kept the ring. Josh, I'm gonna need you to get a real job. But yeah, that relationship was just a mess. And how Jackie was so cold to Marshall during the whole thing. This is the part of relationships that I feel are very real. People will change their mind in a minute, and they will, because they don't respect you, they don't feel like you are owed the closure, they don't feel that you are owed an explanation. And that's just nasty behavior, because like I always say, my main goal these days, it's to get into the gates of heaven. You are not going to get into heaven acting like that. You really not. God will laugh in your face when you get there, Jackie. I'm not the judge and jury. I don't know what religion she believes in or what, but I'm just like, ma'am, that's just nasty behavior. Like, let's say you came here for clout. You have to rehab the hell out of your image. And all the shit that came out on social media, I hope they are better people than what they presented themselves to be. And when I say that, I mean Jackie, Josh, and Marshall. Some stuff has come out about Marshall and some old tweets he made about black women. So I really don't feel sorry for his ass. Let me be clear. I don't feel sorry for no one in this relationship. Y'all chose to be here. Y'all chose to experiment. And y'all chose to be recorded throughout all of this. And there were some people who I can tell their main goal was to get to the altar, Irina. But when it's all said and done, Jackie and Marshall, that no. It's just a straight up no. I hope they both are working on themselves, because social media has torn them both to shreds. Okay, last but not least, let's discuss Bliss, Zach, and Irina. This one was the real one where I was like, I need to see what the results will be, because Irina is probably the most disgusting person I've seen on reality TV in a long time. Okay? Zach is 31. He is a criminal defense attorney. Irina, 26. She says she's a business owner. Yeah. Bliss, 33, a senior program manager. So right off the bat, we get Irina and her sob story about her acne scars, you know, those damn craters in her face, and how she grew up being bullied, and how, you know, she got a thick skin, pun intended, bitch, and how it shaped her confidence and how she dates. Boom. All right. But then over the course of days in the women's quarters, we see Irina being just fucking disgusting and a mean girl alongside with Micah. And Irina just laughing while people's crying, just going out of her way to be disingenuous. We meet Bliss, and Bliss also, like Chelsea, I thought was very direct, came here for a husband. She wasn't pulling no punches. She was here to find a husband. She wasn't here for clout. Then we meet Zach. And Zach, criminal defense attorney, like I said, came here to find a wife, came here to find someone to complete him, came here to build a family. Now, my first impression of Zach, I thought he was decent. I didn't think he was weird or creepy like everybody else says. I thought he was genuinely just a man who was confused. Irina forgot his birthday. She saw Bliss baking cupcakes or a cake for him and decides to ask Bliss if she can borrow a damn can. Bitch, if you don't get out of my face, if you don't get out of my face with your cheese wedge, Green Bay, Wisconsin, the holes in your girl, get out of here. Scram. And I feel that's what Bliss wanted to say. And even when Bliss, I mean, and Zach knew the girl forgot her birthday, but was still giving her the benefit of the doubt. Even when Bliss told Zach, you know, if you decide to be with someone like an Irina, I'm gonna judge you because she is a terrible person. She's mean. And that's my opinion. Zach saw that as a personal attack on his credibility. And goddamn it, Zach, she was right. She was right. I would have, in the pods, I know it can get a little catty. I know, you know, competition. But I don't know how Zach is a criminal defense attorney and heard what Bliss was saying, but still decided to move forward with Irina. Like, I just don't understand. It was really mind-boggling. So when he ultimately decided to move forward with Irina, I was like, Zach, what are you doing? What are you doing? Zach obviously had this insecurity about the way he grew up in poverty, especially with his mom. And I guess that would have made him want to be extra, extra successful in life. And it just goes to show, not only do parents mold who you become, how they raise you affects your, the way you decide who you want your partner to be, the way how you decide what your career is going to be. You would think, just looking at Josh, I'm sorry, not Josh, looking at Zach, he's a successful attorney. You know, he couldn't possibly have all these insecurities, and he still very much did. And I want you guys, if you guys go on Instagram and look at Zach's, he calls them the receipts of how he grew up, it will make you understand him a lot better. And it details how his mom went through all these mental health issues and how she was homeless and how she lost custody of his younger sister at one point. Like, I felt really, really bad for him and how everybody, some of the cast members were treating him. But he is not free of judgment because I still don't understand, Zach, I keep wanting to call you Josh. Why did you propose? You still wanted to build a life with this woman who you have been told is cruel. You have been told is messy and nasty. You knew she forgot your birthday and you still wanted to build a life with her. So when he proposed to Irina and they met, that shit was so awkward, y'all. I was fast forwarding because the lack of kisses, the lack of just Irina looking at him like he was a damn a damn dog. Like, it was just, I get secondhand embarrassment through the TV screens. And it was embarrassing, even on the honeymoon, the way she was disrespecting him, the way he would try to kiss her. And she was just like, ugh, no. And I'm like, Irina, have you going to bed with a full face of makeup on and you wondering why your skin has more holes in it than Swiss cheese? Ma'am. Just the way she was treating him, talking about he gave her the ick. No, you gave us the ick continuously. And it got to the point where Zach realized he had made a huge mistake. Irina treated him horribly. And he told her, listen, we're not doing this no more. You don't want to be physical with me. You don't want to, you know, get to know me. You have no nice things to say about me. It's time for you to bounce. And it just lets me realize that people do still come on the show for clout. Because Irina, throughout all the shit she was talking about Zach, she was still laying next to him in bed with a divider, fully intent on going to the honeymoon and making it to the altar. ma'am, get the fuck out of here. And still on top of that, flirting with Paul. Irina, it ho to ho, you was wrong. You was wrong. And it just, she kept saying, oh, I wanted to wait until marriage to have sex. Not necessarily saying that the way you dress is about your sexual personality, but your damn titties was out every day around these men. Ma'am, what are you talking about? You are very sexual presenting because of, you know, your face. And I just wasn't buying it. I know you a hoe. I know you a hoe. Yeah, I said it. So Zach dumps her. We think that's the end of Zach. No, he has to go and see Bliss. And Bliss is a better woman than me. First of all, Bliss is gorgeous. Okay? But, you know, she's very assertive. So the fact that she even agreed to meet up with Zach, and you guys could tell the moment they met up, it was like, yeah, perfect match. But I felt like he had missed his chance. I didn't even think they would continue to see each other. But eventually, they continue to see each other. He proposes to her. And, you know, we get this insecurity within the both of them. Her kind of being the second choice. I do feel like throughout the season, Zach got a pass on never having to explain why he chose Irina. Even during the reunion, there was never any big discussion on, you know, Irina being a terrible person overshadowed why he made that initial decision to propose to her. And I feel like, Liz, you was either going to get over it with not getting an answer, or you was going to move forward and not bring it up again. Bliss's father meeting Zach, I thought her father was a misogynist. I thought he was disgusting. I thought he was mean, which is so, it's such a juxtaposition of what we learn in the reunion about her dad. But her dad just gave me, he's the ruler of the house and, you know, women are lower than him. He was just giving misogynistic keys and I was not here for him. It was no surprise that he was divorced is all I gotta say. But I am glad that Bliss stood up to him and was like, well, you know, I'm gonna do what I want to do. You know, you're here as a formality, but I'm gonna decide what I want to do. I loved Bliss's mom. You know, there are truly some good peoples out there in the earth. When she first met Zach and she was telling him, well, you don't have to worry about not having a mom because if you and Bliss get together, you are my son, period. I was like, oh, stop. And you can tell that is all Zach really wanted. And he opened up about this. He was like, yeah, obviously I had a huge insecurity about the family thing that made me shy away from Bliss. But it was just, to me, him not wanting to be a man and wanting to conquer that. Like, but that's what love is. That's what building relationships, period, are. You are taking a risk of exposing yourself in shit may not work out, or family members may not. That's not important when it's all said and done, because you need to focus on the person that you are building a life with. Now, my predictions for the altar, I can't really say that I thought they'd both say yes or they'd both say no. I think for Bliss to come back on this show and to have Zach court her again and them get engaged, knowing what she knew about how the optics were going to look with Irina and her being second choice, I cannot say that I thought she was going to say yes. I cannot say that I thought Zach was going to say yes. But they end up both saying yes. And they got married. And all I can say is Bliss held her man down at that reunion. She ate down. Zach, you lucky, bro. You better be counting your lucky stars that Bliss decided to not only forgive you for tossing her to the side for Irina's whack ass, but for just not trusting her enough to be comfortable with how her family came back. Because she held him down each and every time the family interacted with them. She held him down at the reunion. Sis was my man. And they will probably, I predict that they will probably make it. Like, I feel like they will start a family pretty soon and that they are going to make it. I was just really happy to see them more. I'm rooting for them a little bit more than Tiffany and Brett, because I feel like Tiffany and Brett are a given, but we never know. But I feel like if Bliss and Zach don't make it, I just do not see that happening. I feel like they are going to last. And she supports him a lot, and he is very vocal about supporting her. He's very vocal about speaking up for himself now, and I feel like he got that confidence because he's with Bliss. They're a nice couple. I I need a spinoff with them, because just to see their dynamic together and how they're both kind of awkward and nerdy, it was a perfect match. Tens across the board. I am a Bliss and Zach fan. So overall, I will give season 4, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I thought the season was very entertaining. We got a lot of interesting people. We got a lot of interesting couples. And I feel like the winning factor is for each season is you not knowing what each couple is going to say at the altar. Like, I was surprised by Kwame saying yes. I still didn't know if Tiffany and Brett would say yes to each other, because who knows? Paul definitely saying no was not on my bingo card, but I feel like we had a great amount of suspense with each couple. Of course, the individuals that didn't make it to the altar, they got torn to shreds by social media. Jackie, Irina, Micah turned them comments off on her IG immediately. I just thought it was a good entertaining season. I thought the couples were well developed. Okay. Again, Netflix flopped with this live reunion. Ain't nobody on the planet asked for a live reunion, but we just gonna have to discuss that on the next episode when I recap the reunion. If they continue to make a good, because like I said, season 3 was not giving this. It wasn't giving this. I think moving forward, they need to make an age cutoff for the season. Like, I'm sorry, I think 27 is too young to be on this show. I want to see 28 to 35. Okay, I want a psychiatric background evaluation. I want, in the contract, you could not have been on any other dating shows. Okay, because Kwame popping up on Married at First Sight and those auditions, it was like, yeah, clout chaser. Irina, clout chaser. Her even speaking out about how she did not want to go on the honeymoon and the producers forced her. It was giving, that could also be true, but it was giving clout chaser. Also, there has recently been an article where one of the cast members, I want to say from season 2, he is suing Netflix and the creators of Love is Blind because of, you know, just bad business practices and how they would, you know, not feed them or, oops, somebody at my door. If that's the Amazon man, I'm gonna be mad. Update, it wasn't the Amazon man. It's I don't think they're Jehovah Witnesses because don't they rest on Sunday? But anyway, back to what I was saying. One of the contestants is suing Netflix for just bad practices and how they would film for like 16 plus hour days in the pods, how they weren't allowed to listen to music from the hotel to the actual pod site, how they always had alcohol handy, but they didn't have like water and juice, all these other things. Especially one woman came forward and said she had revealed that she had, you know, in the background screening process, she had some mental health issues. Not only did she disclose that, they disclosed that to all of the producers on the show, and that they also disclosed that to the person she was dating. So when she had a mental health episode, the producer still forced her to film. Now, Netflix, y'all wrong as hell. But I think especially after the reunion flop with this lawsuit coming out and some details of filming becoming public, they may need to retool what they need to do. Cast people who are mature, cast people who really don't have a social media presence. But it's like Ashley and I was saying on like the problem with housewife shows. We no longer have people auditioning for these shows who don't want to be necessarily famous. They're trying to launch a business, or they're trying to become Nene, or they're trying to become a mean queen or king, or they want to have a catchphrase. Like, we are losing that net for authenticity when it comes to casting these shows, especially love shows, because some people go on there with the direct purpose of never marrying or never engaging in a full-fledged relationship. They're just here for clout. So hopefully next season will be better. I already know that they filmed, or they're currently filming the next season. So we should get the next season around November or December, around that time. So we'll just have to see. I hope it's a better, well-rounded cast. Like I said, I'm going to review the reunion because I have a lot to say about that. Vanessa Lachey, you will crumble. That's all I gotta say. I want to thank you guys for listening. I know we've been a little absent on the podcast lately, but life is life, and we will never apologize for living our lives, period. But I do appreciate y'all for listening. Please join me on the next reunion recap episode, okay? You guys can find me at KDAASH Dior on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm also on Instagram at Brown Sugar Bookworm. Once again, thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.